If you like what we have going on here, make sure that you support the people that support us. Go to shop.lowerafterhours.com for all your clothing needs. Again, find that at shop.lourafterhours.com. Want to see a real Velociraptor dribbling a basketball? Go to shop.lourafterhours.com. Do you have a sarcastic friend in your group named Jeff? Then go to shop.lourafterhours.com and find them the perfect gift.
And we are back on Lauer After Hours. This is Mike Ryan Fan Account, excited to get Lorenzo. Or, crap, I need to restart that.
This is already going so well.
So well, yeah.
Go professional. As expected.
All right, here. And we're back on Lauer After Hours. This is Mike Ryan Fan Account, and I'm excited to bring you our special guest, Lorenzo. Join us as the Lauer Rangers enter the Lorenzone.
We need some kind of sound effect right there. We'll add that in post.
We don't have Yeti's amazing track.
We don't. We're going to add it. We're going to add it afterwards. Yeah, you've got your own song.
Is Yeti here? I don't know.
He doesn't usually join us for the recordings, but he is in the chat, and we always send him the link in case he's able to, you know, to
I've been meaning to show him love because there's been a lot of great things that have happened this month. That's easily number two. That song that he made, the Lorenzo song, was fantastic. A little Marilyn Manson, a little Twilight Zone intro.
It
hit all the right notes.
We're going to get to probably what is on your number one list. I know some people brought some questions for that as well. But before we get to that, I just want to thank you for being here. Lorenzo Rodriguez, producer. Television producer for the Dan Le Batard Show. And I know in your Twitter bio, it says digital content, basically. Is that your main, like, what else are you producing? Like, anything else right now? Or is it primarily Le Batard Show?
As of right now, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You guys all know me from producing the TV simulcast. Right. But as of right now, that's been... If you've been watching on ESPN Ooze, it's just a nice little looping animation by one Angel Resto. Shout out to Angel, man who makes all the wonderful graphics that you see and love on our show. And as of then, it's been basically utility man for our company. Much like Charlie Hume, who works with us as well. I've just kind of trying to find some spots, help where need be so. Sure. I've been helping the Highly Questionable crew since we've been doing a national TV show from our basements. Okay. And all the other HQ producers have been working from home. So now we're kind of back to speed, thankfully. Everyone's got Adobe Premiere. Spoiler alert, that's how we edit our show. and we're in a nice place. I've been able to take paternal leave for a little bit and enjoy some time with the little one and the missus. And when I come back in about a week or so, we'll see if we have a TV simulcast or not. A lot of changes going on at ESPN. So we'll see where that takes me. Digital producer, because I think the one thing that I've been thrilled about, and I'll get to you guys with this, with our production staff, is that we've kind of, because of the pandemic and quarantine, we've kind of had to experiment and try new things. We did a show for about 3 months, strictly social media based. We had the panelists do their stuff from home, and we couldn't, ESPN needed certain parameters to put what we were recording on Zoom. So just like this podcast. Right. On national television. We got to that point. But before then, we were just experimenting and trying new things. We had Mean at the Movies, and we had Chance the Rapper join us. Right. We were trying new things. We have some of the younger HQ producers. I'm thrilled that they took an idea and ran with it. And now that you have that Last Shake mini series that HQ's been putting out, parodying The Last Dance. And I'm just happy. I'm thrilled because the one silver lining, I guess, in having to work from home is that people have explored and found new avenues to create, to try new things, to bring people together, Lauer After Hours crew.
Right.
And here we have you guys. You guys took a little spinoff episode and made it now a podcast, and it's fantastic. I'm glad that this is bringing together a community of fans, of passionate people from different places, different hemispheres of the world.
Sure.
And yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. We really appreciate it.
And, long-winded answer, I'm sure.
That's okay.
You asked why I'm a digital producer on my bio. Somewhere in there, I gave you that answer.
You did. Absolutely. And yeah, obviously, we've learned from the best. We are riding the coattails of a show we have no connection to other than being super fans. And we're going to ride that, you know, up the charts of iTunes and whatnot, because there's a little Stugatz in all of us. Basically, what I'm hearing from your answer is that you finally have all the time to produce the content that Dan gives you shit for constantly. is kind of what I heard in that long-winded answer. So we'll leave it at that, and we'll get the questions rolling. Again, Zoe, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to kick it off with, I believe, the gentleman that booked you for tonight, and that is Steak Sauce out in Albuquerque. Steak Sauce, go for it.
The man himself.
What's up, Zoe? How you doing?
What's up, Steak?
Good, brother. How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. I'm going to give you, before we get silly, I want to give you a chance to talk about the number one thing you're most excited about. How is fatherhood treating you so far?
Marmots. What? Oh, fatherhood. Oh, the number one thing. it's fantastic. Thank you for asking. I'm still on cloud nine. I'm ecstatic. I'm thrilled. A little sleep deprived, but all in all, it's been a true blessing. Leading up to it, I would have told you something else. I was extremely worried about just getting to the hospital, not having. I'm not going to lie. I had a one nightmare during the pregnancy where it was like I thought it was going to be like Dawn of the Dead, people like clawing to get into the hospital. Like I thought this is my weird, crazy mind. I thought like COVID was just going to run amok and it was going to be a bad situation. Thankfully, at least here in the DMV area, things have kind of calmed down a bit. We had our child at Sibley Hospital and they were phenomenal. The staff there was great. Despite all the things going on around us in the world, they did a really good job of just letting that already stressful situation be all that you had to worry about. So, thankfully the baby was born healthy. Thank the good Lord. Mrs. Wifey's been great. She's recovering just fine. And, getting used to changing diapers and slabbing Aquaphor on bums and watching a lot of The Wire. We've enjoyed, just binging the hell out of The Wire. I got a HBO Max finally, and one of the things I've been meaning to get around to is watching the cult, I guess you can call it a cult, HBO classic, and we've loved it. Loved every minute of it. Indoctrinated with the heroin drug trade of the city of Baltimore at a young age.
Can I tell you, I'm from Albuquerque, so I'm supposed to say Breaking Bad is better, but The Wire is the best show in the history of TV.
I love I'm with you, Steak. Like Breaking Bad is number one. This one's like we're at season three. We're right around the part where they create Hamsterdam, that whole area and that whole storyline. So I'm excited. Like McNulty, or as I like love to call him, like Bubs does, McNutty, is now trying to like get back to Stringer Bell and all that. It's exciting. I season two gets a bad rap. People told me, oh, I'm sick with it. Season two is kind of bad, but we stuck with it. I enjoyed season two. It gives you a little extra perspective on just like the scope of the shady underworld. But yeah, it's been up there with Breaking Bad, that's for sure.
Steak, did you ask your question, or was that
We're good. Yeah, go for it.
Once again, somewhere in there, there's an answer.
if you guys, like, sometimes I didn't know if that he just wanted to give you a lead in to the fatherhood thing or what. All right. Thank you, Steak. Next up, we've got Beep Count. I believe he has another question / comment on that number one thing that happened to you this month. Go ahead, Beep.
The man with the stats.
What's going on, Lorenzo? How you doing, man?
What's up, Beep Count? How you doing?
I'm doing fairly well. Like yourself, I recently became a father again.
Congrats.
Again. Baby number two was born on Wednesday. So super.
And here you are doing this damn podcast. What the hell are you doing, man? It's a 1 week old, not even a 1 week old.
Yeah, four days old now.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Needs a break. Thank you. And congratulations to you and the Mrs. Zoe as well. What are some things that in the first few days of fatherhood are exactly like you thought they were going to be? And what are some things that are completely different than what you thought they were going to be?
Great question. The things I expected were the frequency of the feedings and the input and the output. That was like, I was told, get ready for that, brace yourself for the frequency of how many times they're eating and how many times they're pooping. That was expected. I wasn't familiar with the different, like all the wonderful shades, all the colors of the poop rainbow that I've encountered.
The tar.
that one was like some, like, speaking of Power Rangers, that was like the Secret of the Ooze crap. Like that, the first, for the uninformed, the first few poops that newborns have is like this tarry black, like gack looking the consistency, right? I think it's
not just newborns. Yeah,
black tar heroin.
Yeah, it's called meconium. It's basically what the baby had digested the first like 9 months in the womb. So
yes, the ooze. And you see that and then changes all types of colors. The thing I that surprised me. She's actually a lot better at sleeping than I expected. I joked about sleep deprivation, but she's actually been a pretty damn good sleeper. She takes after her father, I guess, in that. Cause she knocks out, we get like 4 hours at times from her, four and a half, five is the most. We got that damn Snoo thing. Shout out to Snoo, Dr. Harvey Karp. I love you, man. You've given it. Yes. Beep Count knows what I'm talking about. It's an amazing invention. Shout out to the Snoo fam. The Happiest Baby, I think, is the company. Yeah. But yeah, that's been a lifesaver. And I'm thrilled to see what other new surprises come my way. I'm really looking forward to now, like the next few months when they actually start getting a personality and start reacting to things and she starts getting on, becoming a little person. That's what I'm most excited about. But I hope I answer your question, Beep.
Absolutely, man. Thank you very much for your time tonight. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Back to you, Crispy.
Thank you, Beep. All right.
Good toss.
That was good. It's not bad.
Back
right?
to you.
Back to you. I'm Beep Count with Lauer After Hours. All right. Up next, we've got. Life. Oh, sorry, John. Damn it. Okay. All right.
We got new friends popping in. Now we got Reddit Mark.
Oh, did he just show up? Is his audio not working?
Yeah, he's got the little connecting dots. Okay. He hasn't heard us
yet. Gotcha.
Shh, don't say anything.
Can I sneak in with a technical question? Is the lechon asado in a caja china count as barbecue?
Oh, wow. Yes. Thank you, John in Miami. I'd actually have to just... So a caja china roast is basically, it's like a wooden box. Sometimes people do it in the ground. Like they just dig up a hole and put a grill, and then you'll buy a full-blown pig and just chop it or cut him in half, marinate him with like ajo or garlic. And like you get different schools. Mojo. You just like lay everything, every little herb and spice on this pig. Usually you do it for like a day. The real experience Lechon Roasters will do for usually. So for my Cuban family, we do it a lot on Noche Buena, which is Christmas Eve. There's other times to do it, but that's when you really break the bank. You go all out. You get the Caja China. There's a company now, I think, in Miami that sells, that strictly sells Caja Chinas. John, is that am I correct?
Sure, you can even buy them at Home Depot.
Yeah, like they've made it a household item, and you roast it basically for about half a day. On top of that, like you marinate it, and then you roast it for about half a day. You start people start showing up to the party, and you start smelling the pig slowly crackling and getting nice and toasty. You get some people that will eat everything off the pig, and I mean everything. I've seen some pig roasts at a tailgate where people have eaten the brain of the pig. Not my estilo, but the most I've had is like the ear of the pig. It's got to be nice and crispy. It's a weird taste because it's like it's cartilage and fried, or it's like roasted cartilage, but. Yeah, a well-done lechon is where it's at. You get some, just get some Cuban bread, just rip it right off, and just like lay the pig in there, lay the pork, put some onions, whatever you want to add on there, and you just go to town.
Jeff's got a follow-up question to that. Jeff, go ahead.
But is Caja China really like barbecue, or is it just like an oven? Because that's what I'm going to push back.
If I may, Lorenzo. So,
please.
Thank you. So that's why I was saying it's a technical question, because it does involve coal. And there's, so what you're doing is you're putting the pig, the whole pig, in a box, and then on top of the box you have this like a steel
like a cage.
Yeah, a steel sheet that you put the coals on top of, and then once it's cooking halfway through, you go ahead and you turn it skin side up so that the skin can then, and the crackling can go ahead and crisp up, and you salt it and that whole thing. But that's why it was a technical question, because it does involve coals, but it's not direct heat. I mean, it's direct heat in the sense that it goes through the pan, but it's more like an oven. And that's why I asked, you know, if it was technically barbecue or not.
I love the detail. I'm going to count it as a barbecue. You're roasting. You're roasting pork. You got charcoal. That's barbecue to me.
Yeah, I dig it.
I'm really hungry now. By the way.
Like we could, I think all of us could talk about food for the rest of the night. I have not eaten all day, and yes, I am like mouth watering right now. Yes, I have not big to it. See, white guy from North Carolina culture, we just call that a pig picking. You know, like you know, we've got the pig roasting all day. On the over the fire and stuff. So it's, I think there's probably a version of that in most cultures. I could not begin to repeat what you guys just called it. Say it for me one more time.
Caja China, un lechon. Well, the pig is un lechon.
Okay.
But the box in which it's roasted is a caja China, Chinese box.
Okay, cool. I'm going to have to remember that. All right.
By the way, if you guys like your food, your next guest should be one Elizabeth Fearman from ESPN's Number One Challenge podcast. She is a huge foodie, loves to cook, got some great recipes.
Okay.
Small plug for ESPN's Number One podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, like if you could, you know, grease the wheels a little bit for us, you know, tell her how great of a time you had on here with us tonight.
I shall.
That would go a long way. Thank you so much, though. All right, next up, we've got Cody Cavalry. I believe he's got I'm not even going to preface it. I love his questions. Go ahead, Cody.
Yo, what's going on, brother?
Mr. Cavalry.
Hey, man, congrats on the – you too, man. Congrats on the new baby. So Steve Harvey gives you a call, wants you to come on the feud. What four ESPN employees are you bringing with you to take home the quiche?
It's a great question. So I'm getting four other ones on my ESPN family.
Four or five? Five if you're not including yourself.
No. Come on, Cavalry. I'm certainly jumping in the mix here. It's me. Can I consider? Can I go with the Schwab? Is he still mean, he's not still technically ESPN, but he's still in the ESPN umbrella. Because no, it's got to be current. All right, no flop. I'll go with the Bear, Chris Felica. Shout out Miami man, Chris Felica. I'll go with Tony Reale. Tony Reale, a encyclopedic knowledge on him. So I'm getting him. Who else? Scott Van Pelt, also just all about pop culture, all about sports. And I got
the last one has to be a female. Last one has to be a female.
That's true. I got to get the ladies in there. I'd get Allison Turner.
Ooh. Wow.
The just upset. To piss her off. Because like I'm sure if I told her, Allison, guess what we're doing this weekend? We're recording an episode of Family Feud with Steve Harvey's going to be. I'll do my whole shtick where I'll try to like get her ramped up, and she won't be about that life. But it's Allison Turner, and I'm sure she'll do well in the feud.
Very nice, man. Appreciate it.
I hope that's a good team, right? That's a winning team, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a squad.
I was thinking
that's
about Kirkjian maybe, but he's all about his forte, his wheelhouse is baseball, and board games. But yeah, you want a well-rounded knowledge
and decency.
Pool, so I think, yeah, and decency. I think I'm happy with my squad. I think I'll take them to the feud. Steve Harvey, by the way, way too many. He's everywhere, man.
Yeah,
you gotta lay off, Steve. Let some other people have a piece of the pie. Before it was Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan was hosting everything. And now Harvey's all over the place. Like, come on.
He's like, yeah, he's on par with Ryan Seacrest at this point.
Seacrest is kind of calmed down a bit though.
Mellowed out. Yeah,
he's mellowed out now. He's not as prevalent as he was before. But Steve Harvey, yeah. Take a vacation, man.
All right. We're gonna keep it rolling here. We've got Lou Rafter, a.k.a. Bruce, a.k.a. I actually don't know his real name. It's just dawning on me right now. So, Lou, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, man? I kind of have a different question than what you've been getting tonight. Does thought require language?
Does thought require language?
No.
Wow, that's kind of blowing my mind.
I'd have to answer using language. But I don't think that you need language for thought. You can have gestalt images. You can have ideas, imagery in your head. I think you need to have senses. You need to know, you have to have a knowledge base, but language, no, you don't need language for thought.
How is that your shortest answer yet?
I try to use it with you. I try to answer it by using the most limited amount of language.
Well, okay, possible. All right. I'm not calling you out on it. I'm just saying, like I'm impressed. Like you came to that conclusion pretty fast, and that is
Stonehenge was okay. Created thousands of years ago. Who knows if there was a language system in place by the people who erected Stonehenge? But you know what? Someone had to say, we're putting this rock here and that rock there, and that rock's going to be on top of that, or aliens.
Lorenzo, I'm not going to lie. I put that question in there because I was really hoping that you were going to go on a really long tangent. And that's the whole reason why I asked that question. And he just, short question. Thanks.
He totally.
How's
totally
it been being a father that. Has been longer than that philosophical mess. Hello, Charlie Hume.
Hey, Lorenzo. First time, long time. Just want to know, I'd like to pitch you a show idea. Mm-hmm. What do you think about a radio show centered around playing Sudoku? Lorenzo? I've given no background. Lorenzo hosted a segment on our Challenge podcast the other day.
I did no such thing. That wasn't me.
That's right. That was ZJ Lavin.
ZJ.
Where he had an entire segment that was centered around us playing Sudoku on a audio podcast. It was amazing.
Who does that? Why would that be a final, ZJ's final? That's an awful final.
You were so succinct with your answer when I came in. I was so stunned. Like, you're really, I was ZJ expecting to come in the middle of a Lorenzo ramble.
cut ZJ some slack, all right? ZJ has a lot of shit going. Oh, can I curse? I've cursed. I'm sorry. We can curse?
No, yeah.
Fuck yeah, you can curse. Yeah.
Hey, ZJ has a lot of stuff going on and currently on his plate. So listen, I wanted to make, like, at one point I thought, can I make them play Jenga at home? But then it's going to be through a Zoom call, so they each have to have Jenga. Like, can they balance stuff? Who can balance the highest tower of things? And honestly, charades? Like, charades would have been another great podcast.
Great, another great podcast segment. Anyway, I don't mean to crash your interview too heavily, but just, you know, thought I'd check in, see how it's going, see what random thought you were in the middle of. It seems like things are going great for you.
Charlie, do you think you need thought to convey, or language to convey thought?
Wow, you guys are getting deep in here. Do you need language to convey thought? I don't even know where to begin on that. I mean, well, if sign language exists, but I guess sign language is based on a language.
That's a language. It's in ASL. It's in the...
I need to consume...
It's in the name.
More than what I've consumed at this point to think about this this problem.
Wait till you hear Lou's other question.
Oh.
Okay, we're not...
Hit me, Lou. Not yet? No. Okay.
Yeah, not yet. Not quite yet.
Can't wait.
All right, we're going to do I completely just got thrown off. I'm seriously, I've got that language question like wedged in my head now. I keep obsessing over it this entire time. We're going to keep it rolling, though. Charlie, thank you for crashing Lorenzo's podcast, by the way. We appreciate it. He did the same thing to Billy, to his Zoom, and Stretch. Man, I think we went like 2.5 hours with that episode, so... Lorenzo gave us lots of content.
Machine, man.
Yes,
that's what I'm here for.
Absolutely, you are.
It's not all great, but it's something.
you mine long enough, you're going to find a diamond, right? That's how I view it. All right, next up, we've got Leber Reddit. I believe he has joined us. Go ahead, Leber Reddit.
Lorenzo, greetings.
I can't see you. Oh, there you are, Mark. Hello, sir.
I'm right here. Hello. First off, I lightly troll you on Twitter every once in a while with the Lorenz zone, and you're a good sport, so I do appreciate it. Some people are not so with that type of sense of humor. Anyways, you appear to be a big gamer. At least you play Animal Crossing a lot. So what's one thing that you wish you knew in the beginning when you started to play Animal Crossing that you knew now? And as a follow-up question, you're on a desert island that happens to have video games. You can only bring one game. What do you bring?
Wow.
The old deserted island question.
As far as gaming, not enough time to do that anymore. my poor island of Boom Boom has been is probably in shambles right now, asking, or they're all worried sick about me, wondering where I've disappeared to. But what I would have liked to have known, the amount of time that I would have lost playing that damn game, the amount of bells that you would have lost, that's the currency in the game. And I have a feeling that it's going to be this monster of a game, because Nintendo announced they're going to support it for another 3 years. So yeah, it's going to keep people coming back to it.
Are you going to answer the question? What is going on here? Answer the question. What? This is the worst answer.
Mark.
He's trolling.
What did I want to do?
This is a Lorenzo I showed up for. This is exactly why I joined this Zoom call. We made it.
Never mind.
I don't know. That I would have hated Tom Nook so much.
Like, I don't want to know.
Screw Tom Nook. I don't know.
Don't answer the question.
What would I want to know? I like save up my bells for a lunar lander to put in my house. Collect all the blue shells you see.
I don't. I'm not sure if that's an answer, because I've never played Animal Crossing. So
don't do it. Don't do it, Crispy. The game that I would take with me, the one game,
Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail.
Oh God, here we go again.
Answer.
Metal Gear Solid.
Marble Madness is also one that I would probably.
Tecmo.
Ooh, Tecmo Bowl. Yeah, but that's who you're gonna play with if you're there by yourself. The computer? No. That NES
Sim AI City 2000.
SimCity 2000. That is a great one. Who said that one?
Me. The person asking the questions.
Mark, now see, thank you. Thank you for the assist. SimCity 2000 was like game, like it's a landmark game. Although I don't, full disclosure, I never played with the Disasters on. It just, it took so long to make a working city. And then all of a sudden, the last thing I needed were aliens to show up and turn everything to windmills or a hurricane to come through. Like, I lived hurricanes. I don't need my city that took me a week and a half to build be destroyed by some stupid tropical storm. Right. Rampage 64 was great. I saw that one just come up here. Well, the original Rampage was, that's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, SimCity 2000. I'll go with that one.
Okay.
The spin-off Sims, not so much. Sim Tower was a little exciting.
If we can review my two questions, the first one I don't think you ever answered. And then the second question, you took my answer that I gave you. That's what you did with my questions.
Because SimCity 2000 is the answer. That's a great game. Now, unbelievable. Then you're gonna have to bring your PC then. So is that cheating the question then? Because I'm gonna have a PC and thus I can access like I don't know, Steam or something online. Is there online on this island? Can I play an online game? I need more details from you, Mark.
56K modem is all. Body.
Oh, no. I'm 56K. Yeah, well, SimCity.
Windows 95.
Okay.
The Windows 95 PC.
Before this turns into a Samson Ariel Helwani episode between you two, I'm going to keep it rolling here. Liberated, thank you for the question. That was actually a really good question. All right. Next up, we've got Mike Ryan fan account. Go ahead, Mike Ryan fan account.
Hello, Lorenzo.
Hello, Mike Ryan fan account. Where are you? Are you playing your video games?
No. My question is about your cat. So tell me more about your cat. Well, how old is it? And how does it like the new baby?
The cat is great. The cat's about 4 years old now. And he, Arnold the Furminator has been acting just fine with the baby. A little curious. Will come up to her bouncer and peek in. But then when she starts crying, he hates loud things. He's riddled with anxiety. And he just takes off. But for the most part, I just worry about the hair that he drops. Oh, there he is. I'm sorry. I'm distracted by Anthony's many, many backgrounds. I saw my dad at one point. I saw a gray alien. I saw my baked apple pie. Sorry, this is a great detour for the podcast audience. Hey, there's the
audio. Audio medium, Lorenzo.
Yeah,
audio
medium. Just to let the listeners know, Anthony in Brooklyn has been cycling through backgrounds the entire time Lorenzo has been talking. I cannot imagine how distracting that is. And it's all personal photos that Lorenzo...
Yeah, I don't know if I should be flattered or scared.
I trawled your Twitter and your Insta for about 20 minutes and downloaded
it. Has it only been Instagram? Because I hope it's only Instagram.
Can I tell you guys, though, that Twitter, when we recorded with Billy Gill, Lorenzo did the exact same thing for about 20 minutes. Correct. So
I did fitting backgrounds. I did some Shel Silverstein. I did the Tasmanian Devil. Yeah.
Golden Girls.
That one was Charlie. I went through my whole library of Zoom backgrounds.
This is I'll tell one Lorenzo story, and then I'm going to go eat dinner. But when we started the beginning of quarantine, we would have these Zoom calls with everyone for our office every single day, and Lorenzo took the time to record from his computer's vantage point a video of him walking around his own room, vacuum cleaning, doing all sorts of just different chores in the background, figured out how to format that into a Zoom background, and then proceeded to, in a conference call of like numerous, like 40 different people, put this up as his background, and then was stunned when nobody said anything. He's like,
No, there were like three or four that picked up, like, who's that behind you? Is that Sarah? And they're like, oh man, that's you. And I had like a whole little like,
big Zoom background.
A little scene. Like the person, me, comes up to me and is like, hey, I'm cleaning here. I started vacuuming, playing Wii in the back.
This man's an absolute gem. This is a great little snapshot. I know the rest of this interview is going to be just as bizarre. And Lorenzo, best of luck to you.
Go eat, Charlie.
Charlie Hume.
Wait, what's host, for dinner? What's for dinner?
Host of ESPN's number one challenge podcast.
Let's go.
Thank you so much for joining us and crashing Lorenzo's podcast.
Thank you, Charlie.
What are we eating?
Shake Shack. hot dog, okay, and some nuggets with some barbecue sauce.
All right.
Hot dog from Shake Shack?
I know. Normally you should get a burger from Shake Shack, and the burgers are good. But the hot dog nugget combo, instead of fries, you know what I mean? I feel like nuggets are an upgrade on fries.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It's a weird thought process. But
no, I hear you. Anyways. I hear you. It's legit.
Appropriate for the Zozo.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Charlie.
Y'all have fun. Don't keep it too late, huh?
Oh, Mark, Tetris. Tetris is also like, that's a game that you'll never forget.
We're not doing this anymore, Lorenzo. We're done with this question. Lorenzo, we're not doing this anymore.
It's not fluid. Sorry. I can't change.
No.
Like my.
No, we can't.
Can I ship back my copy of SimCity 2000?
It is just
for like another game in return on my island.
Look, we literally don't want to keep you here all night. And if you let us, we absolutely will. And you have a newborn at home.
My wife will not allow that.
Yes, exactly. So we want to make sure we get through the questions. And then if there's time at the end, you can take back, end of the segment. You've got to the end of the segment to change your answer. Okay. So just keep that in mind. All right, up next, we've got Steve. I believe he's got a studio simulcast question for you. Go ahead, Steve.
How's it going, Lorenzo?
Hello, Steve.
How you doing, buddy?
Our good friend Steve from our New York show.
Well, it was a good night.
How is your missus, by the way?
She's great.
Still married, right?
Yeah, she did. She doesn't want to be as much, but we are still. So we're still kicking. The helping container saved our marriage, so we're good.
Excellent.
So my question is basically, so the kind of the running joke is that they always make fun of you for missing a shot or taking too long to produce something. So I just kind of want to give you the time to air your grievances on something that maybe they took too long to get to you that made it go longer, or just kind of just shit on somebody from the show, basically, because it's always against you.
Where do I begin? If this was like Festivus, this is where I would just go to town. First off, let's put this out there. I'm not the director of the show. I don't cut cameras. I don't say, hey, that looks really good over there. Let's take that shot, because I've done that. And there are directors, not the main director I work with, Bill, the man. There are some directors who don't take kindly to you telling them what cameras to cut, because that's their job. So I don't do that. When Dan's like, oh, you missed the shot. I remember the day that I got grilled online for missing the Billy ripping his shirt, and I'm like, I was mad at my director at that time, because we missed that glorious moment.
Right.
And, I mean, I think in the long run, it made for a nice, better, bigger moment in the show, the style of the show. But yeah, that's not me. I'm not doing that. I wish I was, because I'm constantly looking at all the monitors and making sure that I'm giving also a heads up to the director on things like that. So that's not me, Dan. After two decades of being on television, around television, he should know the producers don't cut the cameras. So that's just lazy ripping by Dan. As far as the many side projects and quests that I've put the show on, the UCF one, that's all on me. That one was my fault. I tried to make it a bigger and grander thing. I envisioned like a game day setup at the UCF campus, because originally it was going to be a low key thing where we're just going to hand them the trophy. That's it. I'm like, no, let's do this big. Let's make it a big event. And in doing so, I made it more complicated than it should have. And UCF finally got cold feet, and they're like, no, we can't account for the security and all that all this would entail. But ESPN was, I'll be on the record saying that ESPN was on board to do that. We were ready to make it like a mini game day setup at UCF to crown them national champions. The other many projects, I mean, there's some that are still on hard drives around here. Some of those, I'm not going to lie, I'm a one-man band. I have to do a show daily by myself. I have to put out social at times by myself and then get to some of these side projects by myself. There's my fat head. Thanks, Anthony. But there are some projects I would like to get to that are that maybe someday might see the light of day. But we got to figure out how to make them current. I'll leave it at that.
Evergreen.
There's some evergreen ones, but there's one that I there's one that if Charlie was here, he would know the one I'm talking about. I do feel like there's it's a glorious bit that now wouldn't resonate unless we kind of make it. Bring it to current day, but maybe soon we'll see. After this baby, there's no simulcast, so maybe I get to work on some of these lost projects. Thanks, I hope that answers your question, Steve.
No, perfect. Thank you, man.
All right. Up next, we've got Pamela. I believe she's got some food related questions as well. So we're going to dive right back into that, along with some other recommendations. Go ahead, Pamela.
Hey, Pamela.
All right, let's go. So I am also DMV local. I'm a little further south than you, but we're kind of neighbors.
Okay. Are you also Maryland or
no,
Virginia?
I'm Virginia.
Okay.
But I travel to eat because that's my passion. So I have lots of places that I love and wondered what are your favorite DMV spots to eat, to go to shows? Maybe we share some of the same spots.
Ooh. I like the Hamilton is a good place that has both good eats and also good live shows. Recently the Wharf area has just exploded.
Yeah.
And there's everything from the Anthem. Sorry. Yeah. The Anthem. It's great. A phenomenal venue. I went to go see the Lonely Island there. It's great, great place. And there's a number of restaurants that just up and down the Wharf. You can't go wrong there. I like Le Diplomat, some good French cuisine down 14th Street and 14th and T. It's somewhere on 14th Street in DC. What else is there? Ted's Bulletin is like that's where I that's my go to. That's my safe pick. There's a Cuban place that opened up in DC. Which is my colada shop. They are pretty good. They're not I know. That's why I said they're pretty good, John. When they first opened, they were the next best thing outside of Miami for me as far as Cuban treats and like cafecito. Their cafecito was actually legit. Then they got too popular and too important, and the quality kind of dropped down a bit. I'm sorry, my colada shop. What other places? My wife and I always love going to. Let me get the year right. It's because I'm gonna sound like a
1789.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yes, fantastic. Thank you.
1789. That's where we had our second anniversary and fourth anniversary dinners, and that's the top echelon for me. I love 1789.
Yeah.
And as far as like you said, also places to go for performances for music
shows. I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Black Cat is a little bit more of a it's like a grungier live band venue. Out on U Street, you've got I forget. It's next to Satellite. Satellite's also another fun place. They have the best burgers and some of the best boozy milkshakes in town.
Yeah, 930 Club is down there.
The 930 Club. Yeah, open. What's up? Wait,
On U Street. Are you talking about the Velvet Lounge? On U Street?
Velvet Lounge had the best music, bar none, in town. It rivaled some of Miami's clubs for me.
Hold on, man.
I know, John. I'm sorry. Miami's though is long gone. This is now DC though. And Velvet Lounge, my group of friends up here, also from Miami, will say the best music, bar none, the best DJs, and Velvet Lounge. Also, the biggest shithole at times in DC, sticky floors, just sweaty people up against each other. But once again, the best music to dance to, great vibe in there. So those, I guess, would be some go-to spots. Oh, and also another bar that I recently came up with in the last few years, the Players Club. It shouldn't surprise anyone. It's a big barcade, and that's where I celebrated my last birthday. It looks like a 1970s rompus room, but also with just pinball machines and good drinks. I hope that answers your question, Pam.
It does, but I would suggest, because you mentioned soul food earlier, Fell's Point, the Blue Moon Cafe for brunch. It's unbelievable. You got to get there early. They don't take reservations. There's
he's only writing. He's things. Writing this down.
I'm writing it down. So whatever.
I got the.
What
pen
do we order?
Fell's Point Blue Fell's Moon Point, Cafe.
Yeah, Fell's Point neighborhood in Baltimore. Blue Moon Cafe. They have French toast that is rolled in crushed Fruit Loops. They have chicken and waffles. It's all ridiculous, and it's all obnoxious-sized portions. It's so worth waiting. I think the omelets are like 7 or 8 eggs. It's out of control. It is worth your time.
Holy cow.
That's quite a trek, though, over in Baltimore. But
totally.
I have written it down, Pamela. Oh, and also Rose's Luxury. I recently, recently got a chance to go to Rose's. Actually, no, we didn't go. We picked up because right as the only way you can go to Rose's is when there's a pandemic and it's takeout.
Yeah.
Because Rose's Luxury also no reservations. It's impossible to get a table there, but
yeah,
it's one of the best places in town.
Yeah, from what I know, it's hours wait to get there and get in line. So.
Damn, sounds like it's worth it then. If you got, particularly if right now with takeout, if that's an option, not having to stand in that line, wait for a table. All right, we're going to keep it moving along here to the guy that you are now unsure of if he broke into your house and went through your photo albums from when you were a kid or exactly.
That's me. That's me with my horrible mushroom cut.
Anthony in Brooklyn, go ahead, man. You are up.
Hey, Zill, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Anthony.
So I wanted to ask you, and it's sort of been covered throughout this by John, do you miss Miami? Like, or how much do you miss Miami? I mean, you know, I mean, I know you love D.C., and D.C. is a great city. Don't get me wrong. I mean, New York's the best, but, you know, D.C. is really, really a close third. Yeah, well, you know.
New York is actually one of my favorite cities. I get into a lot of trouble every time I go to New York. Fun trouble. Do I miss Miami? Hell yeah.
Well, how much do you miss Miami, I guess?
Certain things. I miss the people. I miss the food. I miss my family. I miss the attitude at times of Miami. And also don't miss the attitude of Miami at times. It's a double-edged sword. I think the greatest thing I ever did was leave Miami. It hurt and it was not an easy decision. I left, back in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. I left 2013 to go to Bristol to work up there. That was the only way I would have easily left Miami. It was some big career changing opportunity, and that it was. Without that, I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't have ended up working on this great show that we all love. I wouldn't have had any of the things that I now have because I've met my wife here. I bought a house here. I've set up a life here, but it's not Miami. It never will be. Miami also, though, the Miami of today is not the Miami that I grew up in. It's also changing. So that fond memory of Miami, I will always treasure it, and I will take Miami wherever I go because everywhere I do go, it's Lorenzo from Miami, much like John in Miami. Miami is very much a part of, woven into the people that are from there. I know it sounds pompous and oh, look at us, we're the Miami 305 till we die. Oh, yeah, I said it. But it's very true. Like, it stays with you. People from New York will say that. People from you got to take where you're from with you because it's part of who you are. And I think you put up the Los Piratas, which is an old, like, think of like Discovery Zone back in the day. That was our Discovery Zone when I was like 4 or 5, when I was in that age in that picture you have behind you. that was a place that says Miami to me. The Tropical Park that's a place I will never find a park as unique as Tropical Park. There are some beautiful parks up here, much nicer than Tropical Park. But Tropical Park was where I celebrated birthdays, where I did Little League, where you name it. Like Santa's Enchanted Forest was there. I took my girlfriend at the time, now wife, Santa's, and she's like, I can see why you guys like this little tourist trap of an amusement park. Miami will always be a very fond, will have a very large part in my heart and my psyche and who I am. I do miss it. But it's the life. I'm glad that I left Miami. Let's put it at that, because I got to see the world outside of Miami. Miami is a melting pot to a certain extent. Like Miami has, like, I wish Miami was much more, the different cultures of Miami actually meshed a little bit better or molded together, a little bit more, but, it's an interesting place. Go down there, explore Miami. Not right now though, because it's infested by COVID.
Right. It's a good answer. I think a lot of people, it's hard to rip that Band-Aid off and not just like, obviously you just said you put down roots in DC now. Like it feels like home.
Technically Maryland.
Well, Maryland. Okay. Exactly. Yes. There we go.
Home of one Jim Henson and Kevin Garnett. Oh no, okay. Kevin Garnett's PG County. I shouldn't lump him in here. That fraud.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's different doesn't mean worse or bad. It's just different, and it takes some getting used to. So I completely feel you on that answer. Zoe, by the way, if you need to go, let us know. Like any, you know,
what time is it? We're an hour in. No, we're good for.
We just got a few more questions.
Good half hour or less.
Sweet. All right. And up next, we've got Jeff. I believe Jeff has a question about grenades. Go ahead, Jeff.
Great segue.
It's Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. I'm excited about this.
I want to phrase this delicately, because I truly mean it from like a point standpoint of like admiration more so than anything. But like, do you have this distinct ability to drop a hand grenade in the middle of a bit in a way that I personally find hysterical and I desperately aspire to, but my fellow podcasters would get very upset at me about if I had done so. So I want to know, how is it that you kind of fell into that role, and what's the best way to, like, you know, really ruin a bit, but without everybody hating you?
Jeff, that is a phenomenal question, and shame on your colleagues for giving you grief about who you are and the role that you play.
He threw us under the bus just then. This is also, I don't know if Jeff knows this, this is actually his last episode with us.
Jeff, I'm starting a
I meant that all very
this can't happen. The man is a potato.
That sounds like you just insulted him. Like
he has an incredibly appealing personality. Can't get rid of him.
That was just that. I just called an audible just then, just based on him throwing us under the bus.
It wasn't throwing you under the bus. It was a question about how he approaches, like, in interacting with, you know, like the Levitard universe,
lobbing
like. He's extremely good.
Lobbing grenades into bits, essentially.
That was my question.
Be your amazing carb-filled self. Don't let any of these people change who you are. Speak your mind. Say whatever you see from all your many eyes. Be yourself. Don't be boxed in into any personality that these people want you to be. So if you want to be a potato, be a goddamn potato.
Thank you, Zoe. I appreciate that. I love
throw all the grenades you want, because grenades they're fun. They're dangerous, but they're fun. I even love a good explosion.
That's good advice. That's advice to live life. Be your, what would you say? Be your potato, your goddamn potato self.
be your, if you want to be a potato, be a goddamn potato.
Okay. All right. Good words.
Sorry for cursing.
No, it's okay. It's all right. We've got that explicit rating for a reason.
Cause you came down on poor Jeff the potato and you got me riled up.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right. We'll start a hashtag free Jeff and we'll see how we feel about
Jeff
it.
Jeff the potato.
Yes, Jeff the potato. All right. Up next, we have Barrett. I believe he's got a challenge question for you. Go ahead, Barrett.
Hey, so, Zoe, I got to say the challenge pod is fucking phenomenal. I like it more than the actual challenge. Also, this is a hard-pressed question.
Sorry, Barrett.
I was waiting for something back and nothing came, so I kept it moving, I guess.
Yeah, we need a sound.
The podcast is probably better than the challenge. There, I said it. Yes, I agree with you. Another full disclosure, I know the characters, the big vets on the challenge, but it wasn't until the Charlies and Billy got on board with this podcast that I we actually sat through an entire season of this damn thing. So credit to them for making that show a little bit more tolerable.
I think a lot of it had to do with timing and other things not happening. But not to shit on the challenge, because the challenge pod is amazing. My question about it is, and this is something I asked Charlie, whose pod is the number one ESPN challenge pod representing? Out of all the guests that you've had on and all the wishy-washy, this is a Josh pod or this is a Laurel pod, where do you actually stand?
I mean, Laurel kind of helped put them on the map, I think, right? Like she was a huge advocate for them early on. So I would say more Laurel. I always thought they should have been a Miz pod. Not that the Miz needs any more publicity, but the Miz, when they got the Miz, I was like, all right, you guys are actually doing something meaningful here. The Miz is showing up.
So my thing, I didn't even know that the Miz was a real world person. I only knew the wrestling world. Just, you know, he was a contender. But yeah, and then to learn that was crazy.
The Miz was back in my day, one of the real world contestants I remember. Tech, and I remember the Hawaii at season the most. What was her name? She had a huge crush on her. Was it Vanessa? There was the Miz. There was a few names that would always, like, for some reason, just be around the real world and the road rules world. And the Miz was, that's where the Miz was created. That persona was on the real world. So.
See, and that's I got into the real world road rules challenge.
Don't be ashamed. That happens to me all the time. I'm always tripping over Red River Rivalry. Can't say it.
Red River Rivalry?
Say it faster.
Red River Rivalry.
That's eight. No, it's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's
Red River Rivalry. See, if I do it too fast, Red River Rivalry. I sound like Scooby-Doo saying.
All right. What about Toy Boat?
Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boy.
You gotta do it by syllables. Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boat, Toy Boat.
The sun, damn it.
You can race toy boats at Tropical Park.
Yeah. Ooh, wait. There was a Metro Zoo, Miami, or there was Zoo Miami. Well, it used to be Zoo Miami was called Metro Zoo, and they had next to the crocodiles, they had a remote control boat race as well. I know you remember that one, John.
Yep. No, but on Tropical Park, they actually take like these.
Oh yeah, the big
boats,
the one the gas powered
ones,
the one big lake remote controlled.
Yeah.
They also have Tropical Park also has the distinction of having the highest point elevation point in Miami. I think
six feet.
There's one hill. There's one huge ass hill.
Used to roll down that thing.
Yes. I used to take my bike, I'd take it all the way to the top, and then just zoom right down. And that's it. There's no other, maybe a molehill or something. Not even, there's like an anthill that's probably the second highest point. There's not a lot of high points in Miami, except Tropical Park's hill.
All right.
So we were talking about boats, right?
Or the challenge. But thank you for talking.
Honestly, I looked down at a message from someone on my on Twitter, because people are sending me questions like mid podcast, and I lost track. I have no idea how you guys got onto toy boats. I completely missed that. I'm going to be honest with you.
That was MVP Jeff who brought that to our attention.
Lorenzo, okay. Can I jump in real quick? Lorenzo, you're a Challenge fan, right?
No.
I wasn't listening either. Sorry, Stugatz is strong on me.
I appreciate the challenge, and I appreciate the challenge, what the challenge gave us in this pandemic, which was some pseudo sport to watch.
And the worst.
There was nothing else. There was nothing else to watch as that King, what, NBA 2K League, E-League? No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not watching NASCAR drivers pretend to race either.
That's what Twitch is for.
Exactly. All right, we are going to...
Jeff, you look beautiful, by the way.
What is he? What's
his shining bright now? Like a diamond. No, he's glistening.
Thank you kindly, Zoe. I really appreciate that.
You guys are two peas in a pod. Completely derailing every chance you get. Okay, we're going to round out the lineup with I'm going to throw it back to Lou Rafter, aka Bruce in Sales. Go for AKA, it, Lou.
AKA Floyd in Sales. All right, Lorenzo, I need you to call Kenny Loggins because you're in the Lorenzen zone.
What?
For our listeners, Floyd in Sales, Lou Rafter, he just showed his custom hat.
Oh, Lou.
I'm glad that Charlie left, because when he was on, I started this afterwards with Tony Collins. So all the previous guests haven't got a custom hat. So I was hoping that he wasn't going to be on and be like, hey, where's my hat?
Oh. This is
leave that in my Brian fan account.
This is moving because I've yet to here's the thing. I haven't gotten a caricature made. I haven't asked Angel to make a caricature of me because I feel like that would be my ego talking. But there's no merchandise. There's no nothing with my likeness on it. So to have a Lorenzo hat is truly it's an honor. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lou. My engines are revved up and ready to go.
Oh, yeah. All right. Good. All right. So we'll end the night off with, have you ever pooped your pants?
Oh, who hasn't?
Exactly.
I mean, yesterday. You want it before yesterday?
Wait, yesterday?
I think it might have been. No. are we telling a story or just yay or nay?
It's just it can be whatever you want. You turn, hey, Lorenzo, work your magic. This is the question. Have you ever pooped your pants? You take that palette and you create art for us.
My most infamous surprise poop, as you call it.
Let it out.
I'll let it out. I let it out that day, the first day of sixth grade. Sixth grade, I went to a middle school, high school by the name of Belen Jesuit Preparatory School, one of the most prestigious schools in America, but in Miami. Forget those Columbus kids. It's all about Belen. We make men for others. Sixth grade, first day, my stomach is in knots. I'm nervous as hell. It's a prep school, so it's shirt and tie, very, very strict. I'm freaking out. There's a PE, a third period, I think it is, right before lunch. So all throughout the day, the morning, I'm like just a nervous wreck. And PE comes, we're getting dressed and changing into our PE gym clothes. And our teacher, Coach Fraga, takes us to learn about wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling.
Oh boy.
And he does this in a small, classroom in the coach's office area. And it's a very small cramped room with like 20 kids up on like desks sitting. Like there's not enough space for everybody. This is a nightmare waiting to happen. And I start hearing the bubble guts. The I'm like, I need to go. I need to get out of here. But I'm still not like, I'm still afraid to leave the class because then if I'm gone for X amount of minutes, everyone knows, oh man, Lorenzo just shitting his life away. I try to hack it. I try to just stay there and just wait it out. Hopefully it subsides. And sure enough, it keeps just intensifying. So I think maybe if I just like let out a little fart, a little bit of the gas, kind of bring down the everything that's stewing in there. Horrible decision. Awful decision. We were sitting on the floor Indian style, and what I thought was just going to be a little tiny little poop became a whole lot of poop. And at that point, I remember my eyes just went wide. The stupid wrestling instructional videos going on. I'm like, oh, this, you got to get on all fours. And then the other position on top. And this is all going on. Everyone's slowly smelling, getting a whiff of what I'm cooking. And you hear it, sick bunch of sixth graders like, oh man, who farted? Oh, what's that smell? And I wait and I wait and I wait, sitting in it. I'm literally sitting in it waiting. And I then ask, hey, Coach Farga, can I go to the bathroom? I don't look back. I duck waddle, dart right out of the room, and I got to the locker room and just took off everything. I showered. There were showers. I showered. That's how bad it was. And I then called. I at that point the day was lost. I don't care about fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh period. I actually called my mom. I'm like, Mom, I gotta go. I can't recover from today. I just shat my pants. I shat everything. This is a disaster. And yeah, that was my first day of sixth grade. It was a half day. My first half day of sixth grade at Belen Jesuit. I'm sure one of my old colleagues will listen. One of my old schoolmates will listen to this and be like, "Oh, it was fucking Zoe that shat his fucking kid in Coach Fraga's PE class." There you go.
All right. Years later, we're gonna end it on that note. Lorenzo, that was a strong
on a shit story, on a poop story. Absolutely. Literally. No,
that's it. Yeah, man. That was the last one we had for you. We presented you with the hat, or I say we. Lou Rafter did Floyd and Sales, Bruce and Sales. Lorenzo
ended on the hat. Couldn't we?
We couldn't. I'm sorry. This has kind of become our thing now. So Lorenzo Rodriguez, producer for ESPN,
Lauren Rodriguez,
the Avatar Show simulcast. The ESPN's number one challenge podcast producer. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to plug?
What am I plugging? I don't know. What am I working on? Should I plug? Watch The Wire. It's fucking amazing.
Fuck yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, go watch The Wire.